You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you would like to get news updates from your community, La Crosse or Hayward, or Eau Claire.
Or Butternut.
Or Butternut, which is near Park Falls. You can grab the Civic Media app, download it for free, and that gives you the chance to select communities across Wisconsin where you will get news stories. We have a news team spread out all across the state. They are on top of it, whether it's healthcare updates in the Chippewa Valley, transportation news from southeastern Wisconsin. Get the Civic Media app. And then you can follow these various communities where you want to get the news from. It's really great. We have a sports team that is covering high school sports like nobody else. So download the Civic Media app today.
Do you know what else you can do, Jane, with that app?
What can you do?
You can listen to us.
You can.
Anywhere. Are you in Amory? You can listen to us. Are you in Los Angeles? You can listen to us. Vienna, New Zealand. Normandy, doesn't matter. You can listen to us.
You can. Just take us with you. Download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. It is completely free. Coming up after the 10:30 news is the segment that we now call Audio Sorbet. Well, we lighten things up a little bit for the last half an hour of the show, and this is something that we did talk about. I think it was last month or the month before when the price of eggs were super high. About chickens.
Yep.
And a lot more interest in people having their own backyard chickens. Now you can rent a chicken. I didn't know that was a thing, but it is.
We're going to have a talk later.
We're going to talk about rented chickens after 10:30. And I know Angie from Monroe, one of our listeners, called in last time when we talked about this. If this is something that you want to do, and I know there's a lot of interest in it, there are some things you need to keep in mind that you may not have thought of. Because Angie, it was I found it revelatory, some of the things that she shared.
And that was the thing is, Angie, if you are listening right now and you know about this thing, this new industry,
this rent-a-chicken,
send us some text with the pros and cons or give us a call later when we're talking about it, of course.
Yep.
But we'd love to get an expert's knowledge on how people are getting into your industry.
Chickens,
baby.
They're very popular. Today is the first 100 days of the second Trump administration. And what I would like to hear, FCC compliant, of course.
Yeah.
Give me the one word description that you would use to describe the first 100 days of the second Trump administration. 855-752-4842. You can text it in. You can call it in. Yeah. Keep it clean.
Please.
Just one word. What is the one word that you would use to describe the first 100 days of the Trump administration? Greg, what would be yours?
Chaos.
Mine would be incompetence.
There you go. And when you mix those two together, it's never a good thing.
Chaotic incompetence.
And Jane, I was thinking about a theme song for the first 100 days, and I couldn't help but find a tune. Calvin, can you play a tune for me real quick? It would be funny if it wasn't real.
Yeah, definitely. It's not funny.
No, it's not funny at all.
But what is your one word, if you had one word to describe the first 100 days of the second Trump administration? 855-752-4842. Dave from New Berlin, arson.
There. She's you on the live stream. I will allow it. She wants two words. Hot mess.
Hot mess is good.
That's a good one as well.
That works. We will continue this during this segment. Again, the one word that you would use to describe the Trump administration version number two. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Daniel Dale from CNN, but he spends a lot of time going over Trump's speeches.
Yes.
And calling out which, I'll just say it, they're lies.
Yeah.
Which things he says in his speeches are lies. He actually goes from false claims to exaggerations to doesn't mention or wildly exaggerates. In his latest article, however, Daniel Dale bluntly said Trump's recent claims about the prices of gas, groceries, and eggs are lies. Over the last week, President Trump has lied about the price of all of them, using this repeated deception to try to minimize widespread concerns that his tariffs will fuel inflation. No, the price of eggs has not fallen 93% since Trump came back in.
What?
That came out of Trump's mouth. 93%, which would mean, and again, I don't math, but aren't eggs would be like a nickel.
So they were around $5.50.
Okay.
So we'll do that. We'll do that. Five.
$5.50
times 0.93. So there we go. All right. So we're gonna take 5.5 minus 5.11. That means that they were 39 cents.
Eggs should be 39 cents.
39 cents a dozen, not a piece, a dozen.
Yeah. That's not what they are. Again, Daniel Dale from CNN. No, the price of eggs not down 93% since Trump came back in office. The overall price of groceries isn't down. There was no state, let alone three states, where gas was $1.98 last week. The president has been lying about a bunch of prices. He claimed that the $1.98 gas, which Daniel Dale says, no, that's not a thing. The lowest price in the U.S. was found at a gas station in Texas at $2.19. The average national gas price from AAA is about $3.17 a gallon. There is no state average price of gas below $2.70 a gallon.
Yeah. Right now, I think the cheapest... on Friday, there's a gas station by the tap that's always the cheapest in Milwaukee. It was $2.69 a gallon.
Oh, that's not bad.
The next day, it was $2.89.
Whoops.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. What one word would you use to describe the first 100 days of the Trump administration? Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. One word.
One word.
Vile.
Vile.
Thank you very much.
There we
Bye.
Go.
Bye. Appreciate it, Gene.
I think, Jane, you said it perfectly when you referred to it as Trump administration number two. That's the perfect way of putting it.
That's one way to put it. Terry, listening on WAUK, says destruction. Mm. Roger from Stevens Point on the text line, clown show. Adam, listening in Madison on WXCO, says despicable. Dan from Wausau, non-empathetic. Is that a real word? I think it is.
It is now.
It is now. Carol from Waukesha, her one word describing the first 100 days of the Trump administration, disastrous. Liz from Saukville says destructive. 855-752-4842. Your one word, keep it clean. To describe the first 100 days of Trump 2.0. Sharky from Racine is on the line. Good morning, Sharky. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'll be nice with this one.
Please do.
But it'll be soft. Diarrhea.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Appreciate it, Sharky.
FCC compliant.
That works, too.
Luke on the live stream says, or Luke in the text, he's telling us it's apathetic would be the empathetic. So I guess, yeah, it would be apathetic versus empathetic.
Non-empathetic.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, honestly, can you go further? Like, it's not empathetic. They honestly don't. They want to, as you said, the fear is real. It's intentional. Therefore, the hurt is real and intentional. They love seeing people scrambling in fear. Because they don't know what's going on. Because if they're scared, they don't know what America really is great about. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I just think that, I mean, we've talked about this with Andrew Watkins. We've talked about this with other people. Empathy to some MAGA is a sin.
Yeah.
Empathy is a sin. Mm-hmm. Elon, our co-president, said that empathy is responsible for the destruction of Western civilization.
And then the following week, after people were setting alight his those dealerships and the cars, he was saying, where is the empathy for me? He literally was saying, where is the empathy for me? I've done nothing wrong, Jane.
We need
just trying to help. Jules and Mozanie says on WXCO is saying inhumane. That is actually a perfect word. Inhumane. Inhumane.
Cruel.
Cruel. I mean, yes. Cruelty.
855-752-4842. Your one word to describe the first 100 days of the Trump administration. Jude from East Troy, garbage. Louise from Kewaunee, criminal. Jules, inhumane. Kurt from Eau Claire, bully. Dan from Wausau, egoism. The opposite of altruism.
Absolutely.
And again, Ronnie from Horicon, cruelty. 855-752-4842. Your one word to describe the Trump administration that is FCC compliant. Nora from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Nora. Thanks for joining us.
Killing.
Say that again, Nora.
Killing.
Killing.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, you calling in.
And I'll wait for callers and texters and live streamers to give us one word. But I want backup on the information. We've talked enough about why we think it is what it is. But I want, once again, show your work. If you think this is great and wonderful, why? What is it doing to help you, the country, anybody else?
And we've talked before, too, Greg, that I do not dispute that we can find waste within the federal government.
Absolutely.
I don't think anybody is disputing that and saying everything is working just hunky-dory and it's all just perfect and it's all just great.
Yeah.
No, there is waste to be found. It's the manner in which you go about it.
Yeah.
And that's why I say my word is incompetence.
Yeah.
Because this does not seem like a terribly competent administration, even though Donald Trump says he surrounds himself by all the best people. Sean Duffy, our head of the Department of Transportation, was on Fox News this morning saying, yeah, we need more air traffic controllers.
Oh, glad you finally came to the party.
You just fired a whole bunch of people from the FAA.
And didn't you tell them that some of them are going to have to work until they die?
Well, now he's saying that I think we should, you know, how can we get them to work longer?
Yeah.
Can we get them to work longer? From what I have read, air traffic controllers are required to retire at 56 because it is such a high stress job. Do we want people who are really, really highly stressed to stay on for another 10 years?
Yeah.
Does that sound like a good plan?
Not at all.
That's why I go with incompetence.
I like incompetence. It's funny because they're all so connected. The incompetence it breeds inhumane action, which is seems like it's a wordplay, but it makes sense. And they're all connected. Another word Shizu puts on there is ruthless.
That too.
Ruthless is a wonderful word to describe. I personally, whomever said inhumane, it just, everything feels purposeful and mean.
We'll keep this going. 855-752-4842. Your one word to describe the first 100 days of Donald Trump 2.0. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. That laugh, I'm shooting for that laugh one day.
Have you ever heard your laugh of ultimate victory? It's not even that. It's like you've just conquered a planet.
Little victories.
I love it.
Little joys in life. Right now, we are taking your calls and your texts. The one word you would use to describe the first 100 days of the Trump administration today marks the 100th day. What is your one word? Keep it clean, FCC compliant. Your one word to describe the first 100 days of the Trump administration. Lots of texts coming in. I love this one from Dan in Wausau. I learn new words when I can't swear. It's good for all of us, Dan. It's good for all of us. Vindictive.
Jake from Madison, gross. Chuck from East Troy, scammed. That's an important one, too, because we talked about this with Will Westmoreland yesterday and before, and, you know, the amount of people out there who are saying, this is not what I voted for.
Yes.
Even though, really, he's doing exactly what he said he was going to, but still there are people out there who are saying, my business is being affected. I'm a farmer. I'm an immigrant. I'm this. I'm that. People are being affected, and they're dumbfounded the fact that a politician actually did what they were going to do.
Well, and unfortunately, too, it depends upon where you choose to get your information. Mm-hmm. Because if you watch certain sources, you will never hear about Project 2025.
What's that?
Which we talked about for months leading up to the presidential election. And we had people saying, well, none of my friends know about that, so it must not be anything.
I love that was the barometer of what is truth and not. My friends don't talk about it, so it can't be real.
What is the one word you would use to describe the Trump administration 2.0, the first 100 days? 855-752-4842. Anne from Chippewa Falls is on the line. Good morning, Anne. Thanks for joining us.
My word is heartless or disaster.
There you go.
Heartless disaster. We could do that too. That works too, unfortunately. Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it. Lori from Hayward, scary. Mm-hmm. He also doesn't do math. He said he was negotiating tariffs with over 200 countries. There are only 195. details, Lori, details. Mary from Tosa, I'm betting my money on psychotic.
That also brings up another, you know, about this time last year, we were getting really worried about where the mind of Joe Biden was, the fact that he was older, there was undeniable moments where you're like, this man might not be able to handle another 4 years.
Yep.
Let's not forget, Donald Trump's not much younger and is having these same moments. As we said earlier, he claimed that eggs were down 93%.
He just picks numbers out of the air.
Yeah, it is.
He does.
Absolutely craziness. Christine and Slinger lives listening on WAUK says, in all caps, with exclamation points, chaos.
Oh, yeah. Brian from Milwaukee, tornado.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. What is the one word, FCC compliant, you would use to describe the Trump administration 2.0, first 100 days? Tom from Oconto, thanks for joining us, Tom. What's your word?
I would say trying.
Trying?
Not necessarily successful in everything, but he's trying to accomplish the things that he promised to the people that voted him into office.
Fair enough. Do you think this is organized, Tom, the way that they're going about this?
Well, no, not necessarily. But I think that they're trying. They're not sitting on their hands for 4 years already planning, you know, what they're going to do in the next administration. They're trying. They're trying to accomplish the things that they said to the voters that they were going to do. Now, to be fair, there's not really a playbook for that because I'm in my 60s and I haven't seen any other president try, you know, as they may. They may make lots and lots of promises before they're elected, but then once they're elected, they're more worried about future elections.
Reelected.
What they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. I really do appreciate you checking in.
Okay. Tom,
and they're certainly taking lots of actions.
But I disagree with him on one point. I think that Joseph Biden's last term, this past term, got a lot done. He tried and succeeded, and the economy and things showed for that. So, yes, politicians can say a lot and do nothing, and they do worry about re-election, especially congressmen. But there is proof to show that the previous president tried and succeeded a great deal. Tom, on the live stream, I think has one of the better ones as well, says retribution.
Yes.
Which he has talked about. There is a gentleman who lives down the street from my mother-in-law who has a flag that says Trump 2024, the revenge tour.
Oh, how lovely. That's exactly what we want in our commander-in-chief.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but and this happened really quickly this morning. Amazon came out and said they were going to, you know, when you look at your bill.
Yeah.
And they were going to include how much the tariffs were raising the price.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn Leavitt said that this was, she didn't say treasonous, but it was close. A hostile and political act.
Ah.
Hostile and political act by Amazon. They're not going after them because Amazon has already capitulated.
They said it didn't even exist. They were like,
we were never going to do that.
Never happened.
News is coming up next. And then when we come back, we will lighten it up, I promise. We're going to talk about Rent-A-Chicken. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball action tonight. The crew at the Sox. Our broadcast starts at 6.05 p.m. You're frowning.
If we lose to the White Sox, I swear to God.
You can listen to the game over the air.
Yes.
Terrestrial radio.
Mm-hmm.
WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls near Butternut, and WBZH in Hayward. The crew at the White Sox tonight, 6:05. Make Greg happy. Go crew.
Yes.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Thank you, Calvin, for bringing us this one. Great schmeckles in history. Stick around for this one. It should be good. Right now, though, this is the portion of the show we call Audio Sorbet, where we just take a breath, get away from the news. I think we all need a break.
Yeah.
To laugh a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This from Harvest Public Media, Skylar Rossi. Headline reads, Rent-A-Chicken. More people take a crack at creating their own egg supply. Now, we talked about this a month ago or 2 months ago when the prices of eggs were continuing to do nothing but go up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot more people have started raising chickens in their backyards.
Who is it who said from the Trump administration, they said, well, people should learn how to raise chickens?
I think it was the agriculture secretary.
Yeah, that was awesome. Become farmers, everyone.
Yep, there you go. We'll just grow all our own food. It's going to be fine. But I did not realize you could rent a chicken. This is actually a business.
Oh.
I know. Buying or renting chickens, say experts, is hardly a cost-saving measure. But people in the business say people are very interested in that home egg supply. Rent the Chicken, which opened over a decade ago, based in Pennsylvania.
What?
Opened 10 years ago, based in Pennsylvania. partners with farmers in cities across the country to rent backyard chickens. Quote, we've been so busy this year, we haven't even been able to compare numbers versus last year.
Wow.
When we looked in February, we were already about 20% ahead of this year versus last year at this time. Hatcheries across the Midwest that supply backyard chickens also say they are flooded with orders. The Murray McMurray Hatchery.
It just flows.
Murray McMurray Hatchery in Iowa sells about 3 million chicks a year to people across the country. Typically, they sell out about 2 or 3 weeks in advance. This year, they are sold out through October.
So wait, I'm confused. They're selling chicks.
That's for people who are buying chickens, you can rent chickens.
I mean, I'm really happy their business is booming. I would honestly, if I had the wherewithal, Jane, I would totally have some chickens. I would be hated.
And your dog would hate you too.
My dog would be eating chicken every night.
Which is why you would have to have an area for them.
Yeah, but I feel like I already rent a chicken. What I do is I just go to the grocery store and I buy eggs where someone else has got their chickens. It's offsite chicken rental. That's how I see it. It's offsite chicken rental. Very simple. They package them up nice and neat.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Calvin, did you want a chicken on the chicken discussion here?
Are you down for this, Calvin?
Are you gonna rent a chicken?
Calvin's chicken rental?
I don't have any interest in getting chickens. If I was going to raise something like that in my yard, I think I'd go a little more low maintenance, like the bees we talked about.
Bees are not low maintenance, are they?
Well, I think
you kind of just set it up and then harvest the honey at the end of the year.
That's probably
an intensive process. But what I was going to say about chickens, though, is I live in like a subdivision with pretty close lots, and there is one of our neighbors who has chickens, and they only have like two, and I don't really notice them.
So it's not that big of a deal. They don't make that much noise.
They don't
anything.
Really. I think it's the roosters that make noise. Well, so if you just have chickens, don't really make that much noise.
But if you want eggs, don't you need a rooster?
No. If you get a rooster, then you're going to start having chicks.
Welcome to science class.
It's basic biology, Jane.
I think the problem, too, is like, well, for one, I don't know why I'd want chickens. My wife can't eat eggs. She doesn't like them. They make her nauseous.
Okay.
But also, I think that even if chickens themselves don't make the noise, we have a dog. Our neighbor back behind us has two dogs. Neighbor next door and over each have a dog. And the other neighbor. So I feel like if there were chickens, barking is all you would hear.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And PJ on the live stream says, bees are a lot of work. I don't think it's just harvesting. I think you have to go out there and do the things and blah, blah, blah. It just seems like it's more... Yeah, PJ says, I worked on a bee farm for 2 years in Beloit. There is a ton of daily maintenance on beehives.
I did not know that.
I mean, I'm all for people getting a little more farming, especially if it's for like, especially if you make you some money, you're making your own honey, making your own eggs. That's great. It's just, I personally like, I just think rent a chicken is one of the most American things that's ever like, hey, Don't want to buy this because you still have to have all the equipment.
Well, here, but again, you can get different packages.
Oh, tell me about the packages.
Packages,
Jane.
From Rent the Chicken vary by location. In Omaha, Detroit, and Milwaukee, a 6-month rental of two hens starts at about $500.
So, okay. Well,
Four Feathered Hens in St. Louis offers 6 or 12 month chicken rentals. Starting at $95 a month, but you have to commit for a year. The most expensive chicken rental package, Greg Bach.
The Golden Cluck package.
Is $190 a month.
Okay, so.
That includes full care. We'll come out, we'll feed the chickens, we'll change out the bedding in the coop, make sure everything is going smoothly, just so it's pretty much the family only has to collect the eggs. But if you're going to be shelling out $190 a month for someone else to come and take care of your rent to chickens, then you may as well be buying eggs.
Did you hear that, folks? Shelling out. That's the thing. That's my exact thought. It's like, if you're going to be paying that much money, why not just do it yourself? It seems how much, like at that point, you have to be selling them, because if you're just eating them, that's a waste of money.
Yeah, it's, well, you're ending up in the hole.
So how much do you need to make any profit? Like, you got to clear your costs and then make a profit? How many eggs can you sell? Every farmer's market has fresh eggs. I mean, I can drive through Kenosha County and see stands on people's property and saying fresh eggs. So this, I'm glad they're doing well. I really am. This is great. Their business model is working. People are like, I love everything about a farmer, but not farming. This is very American.
I just think it makes me laugh. It makes me laugh. Thank you. Rent-a-chicken packages. I love this. Dan from Wausau listening on WXCO. It is a steep learning curve, but I got 3 chickens last August, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Lots of poo, and probably not a money saver, but neither is making maple syrup. It's really about enjoying all of it. And that's probably the best way to look at it, Dan, is... It's work. It's not going to be easy, but it's the process that you're enjoying and the reward, right? When you eat eggs that came from your chickens.
It's a labor of love, essentially. And yes, farm fresh eggs taste way different. They look so different. They're so different. So yes. Like I said, if we had eggs in the house, I would buy farm fresh eggs all the time. But I'm just thinking to myself, why would I have chickens in my house? My wife would be like, what are you doing?
The one thing I remember when Angie called in the last time we talked about backyard chickens.
Yeah.
If this is something that you're considering, and even if you live, maybe even more especially if you live in a rural area, is to keep in mind predators.
Oh, God.
And not just ground predators, but sky predators.
Hawks
in particular. Yeah. She had mentioned how she wanted to do free range chickens. I believe it was Angie.
Yeah.
She wanted to do free-range chickens so they could go, you know, wander everywhere they want to, and then she would come out and all the chickens are dead. Not a good...
No.
Not good.
I assume... Because this is the first I'm hearing, and I wanted to be like, has anyone ever done this? Please, if you know someone who's done this, tell them to contact us and give us a brief overview.
I'd love to learn more about this.
Jane says at civicmedia.us, I would love to know more about the gentleman chicken farmer.
As well as beekeepers.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a really interesting, just to find out how much work is involved.
Do you know what we can do on our proposed possible trip through Wisconsin? Maybe find a bee farm.
That's a great idea.
Oh.
That's a great idea. We're talking about rent the chickens. It is a thing. More people taking a crack at creating their own egg supply from Harvest Public Media. You can rent a chicken according to different packages. Rent the chicken. Based in Pennsylvania.
But you can do it here in Wisconsin.
You can do it here in Milwaukee.
That is amazing.
But again, and again, you can, and we talked to Fleet Farm.
Yeah.
Not too long ago.
Yes.
They were sending chicks.
No, Farm and Fleet.
Farm and Fleet. They were sending chicks.
Yeah.
But again, it is an investment, and don't think you're going to get rich
by selling
eggs, because that's probably not how it works. But if you're thinking about it, packages from Rent the Chicken. Very depending upon location. Omaha, Detroit, and Milwaukee, you can get a 6-month rental of 2 hens starting at about $500.
I think actually this is, you know what, going back, because at first I was very much like, oh God, I'm thinking about it now. If you're someone who wants to get into it, this is a good stepping stone.
It'd be rather than buy.
Rent
right?
for 6 months, see how
see
you
how
feel.
Goes.
Rent for a year, because, you know, we've all done those things where you're like, I really want to do this thing. And you buy all the stuff. And 6 months later, it's sitting in your garage.
Yeah. John from Oshkosh ISS. This seems like it started in Illinois. Not sure about that, John. This rented chicken is based in Pennsylvania. Yeah. They've been around for a decade.
Or was this a dig it? Illinois? Yeah, there it is. Seems like a total poser thing to do. Oh. He was ranking on. I'm like, I feel like this is a dig at Illinois.
It's a dig at Illinoisians. Rent a chicken.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Yeah, it's up to you. I mean, I'm not doing it, but more power to you. Cluck cluck.
There you go. We're pro chickens. And if you know anybody who's a beekeeper.
Yeah.
I'm very serious about this. We would love to talk to them.
Yeah.
Send it to janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. I know one of my sisters, her neighbor has been doing backyard bees for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I guess I just did not realize it's not set it and forget it.
No. I mean, I guess it's however much you want to be involved too. Like, you can do the base amount of work, or you can be like, I'm going to really do it. I mean, yeah, again, none of this stuff is personally, like, it just feels, I like my couch. I like my TV. And if I just sit there going, I have to take care of the chickens now, I'm like, this is not the life I chose.
I just want a t-shirt that says rent a chicken just because it makes me laugh.
Oh, folks, we're making that happen. Check out the merch store.
Ronnie from Horicon gets the final word. An alternative to chickens are quail. They're small and much easier to deal with as they need a smaller cage. All right, that's another thing we're going to have to look more into. Quail raising.
Come quail away.
Come quail. Oh.
Thank you.
And on that note, we will head to break. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show like we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the great Schmeckles in history. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, last day of April.
No, it's not.
April 30th.
You're all liar pants.
April 30th, tomorrow, the last day of April, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here, our friend and colleague, and now she has a show on the weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays. Mm-hmm. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us tomorrow after the 9:30 news. David Drake is coming back. You know how I love David. We talk about birds.
You makes do. Me very Sometimes happy. I just walk out of the room and it's like I was never here. I come back and it's like, oh, cool. All She's right.
Still talking about birds. David Drake will be joining us. We're going to talk actually about the endangered species list. Okay. This is not a laughing matter.
Yes.
There are some people now within the Trump administration who think that, do we need this anymore? If we just destroy all their habitat, does that really constitute harm?
It's not like I'm doing it.
So David Drake will be joining us in our number two tomorrow. So I hope you can join us for that. Right now, though, it is 11:54, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one. Calvin, I think this is destined to go into the Tisbat Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes.
If there ever is one. This is from The Guardian, Kim Wilshire, that lucky reporter with the byline. Headline reads, historians dispute Bayou Tapestry penis tally after a lengthy debate. Two scholars at loggerheads over whether dangling shapes depict a dagger or the 94th penis on a specific embroidery.
That sentence is great.
In a historical spat that could be subtitled 1066 with knobs on, two medieval experts are engaged in a battle over how many schmeckles are embroidered into the Bayou Tapestry. Oxford professor George Garnett drew worldwide interest 6 years ago when he announced he had counted 93 penises stitched into the embroidered account of the Norman conquest of England, again from 1066. Mm-hmm. The 88-year-old professor said they're attached to horses. 88 of them are attached to horses. The remainder are attached to humans. However, another scholar now, Dr. Christopher Monk, says, no, it's not 93 schmeckles on this embroidered piece. It's 94.
Have I ever told you, Jane, how much I love my job?
No, not lately.
I am currently...
Look at what you learned.
I was... Sure. Okay. I was going to say things I get to say on the air. I mean, the idea, it's like they're having a schmeckle fight here.
I just think it's great that this is what researchers, professors are researching.
And it is a foundational, educated discussion they're having too. It's not two guys yelling at each other in a bar.
No.
It's two men in tweed jackets with the elbow pads.
Patches.
Really going back and forth to say, no, sir, 93.
A running man depicted in the border of the tapestry has something dangling beneath his tunic. One professor says it's the scabbard of a sword or a dagger. The other professor says, no, that's a schmeckle. I am in no doubt that the appendage is a depiction of male genitalia. The detail is surprisingly anatomically fulsome.
Could you imagine a guy on like a dating site going, I'm fulsome? Like, yeah, that's just not that. Actually, no, that's a great word to describe yourself.
That is a good word.
Oh.
The Bayeux Museum in Normandy, which is home to the 70 meter long embroidery, says the story it tells is an epic poem and a moralistic work. The historians both insist that beyond all the stupid jokes and sexual innuendo, their work is not silly. This is about understanding medieval minds. The whole point of studying history is to understand how people thought in the past. They were not crude, unsophisticated, or dim-witted. Quite the opposite. What I've shown is that this is a serious, learned attempt to comment on the conquest, albeit in code.
Okay, Professor, stop trying to kill our fun, for one thing. And second of all, I think we could have learned all those things like 90, 91 schmeckles ago. Like, to find another one proves nothing more. Like, we understand that they didn't wear underwear or pants, and they let their freak flags fly all up. Fine. And the horses were excited about war. But I think that finding one more doesn't make it that much more educational. Like, it doesn't like, oh, I didn't know. I did not take you seriously until the 94th Schmeckle Jane.
They want to be accurate.
Yeah.
They're historians. They want to be accurate. Calvin, any comments on this, since you're the one who found this?
Yeah, well, in the next paragraph, it says, in the Bayeux tapestry, size did matter. The historian pointed out that the battle's two leaders ride horses with the two largest penises in the tapestry.
The most fulsome, as it were.
Clip clop.
That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Before it devolves any further, news is coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman. Sorry, Tom. From 11 to 2, Todd Alba from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn 4 to 6, and Pete Schwaber wraps it up from 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.